While we wait for the big news from Bob Myers, I thought I'd throw out an interesting trade on Twitter the other day. It involved the Warriors sending a massive haul to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Oh, yes, our favorite trade partner, to get Karl-Anthony Towns back. And the tweet got a lot of reaction. And I decided to see if this was actually realistic. Can the Warriors get Karl-Anthony Towns? I'm also going to explain why I proposed this as the best possible trade out there for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm joined by Ben Beacon as a crossover show. He hosts Locked On Timberwolves. We're going to talk about hypothetical trades. We're going to talk about our teams. This is how it goes in the offseason. We think outside the box. We explore all options. And by the way, happy Memorial Day, everyone. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, we are on a very special crossover episode. Myself and Cyrus Sotsis from Lockdown Warriors. We're going to talk a little bit of Wolves Warriors, and I think this really centered, Cyrus, around the idea that the Warriors could perhaps be interested in a Karl-Anthony Towns trade. There's been a little bit of chatter lately that the Wolves are finally maybe open to trading Karl-Anthony Towns. So that's kind of the genesis of us, having this conversation. And I guess from a Wolves fans perspective, like why the Warriors might be interested, what Golden State's up to, and then flipping that, like what the Wolves could be looking for in a cat trade. Are they open to it? We'll do that. We'll talk a little general NBA, just kind of a wide ranging conversation. If that sounds all right with you.
Yeah, why not? It's the off season, right?
Let's do it. All right.
Mix it up.
Let's start with the premise of a potential Karl-Anthony Towns trade. I've talked on Locked On Wolves quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, and I had Howard back on a couple of weeks ago, and he was pretty convinced that the Wolves would be open to trading Karl-Anthony Towns this offseason. The cliff notes here are he's trade eligible the first week of July after signing the max extension a couple years ago. And the extension kicks in this year as well. And there, of course, is the possibility the Wolves could trade him on draft night in sort of like a handshake agreement where it doesn't become official until July. And of course, the Wolves don't have very many draft picks after the Rudy Gobert trade at all. And so there could be some motivation to at least explore Karl-Anthony Towns trade from the Wolves side. Your side, Cyrus, where are the Warriors at? Why is this something they would consider? What's the thought process behind a potential Towns trade?
Well, I guess, first of all, the great Howard Beck is part of our network. He came on Locked On Warriors, but I would say this, no disrespect to Howard Beck, but I feel like your opinion on Karl-Anthony Towns would be more valid. You're the insider. You cover this team. The whole reason why the genesis of this crossover came from the fact that the Golden State Warriors, in my opinion, are in an existential crisis right now because they've had this incredibly dominant run. To the fan base, to the team, it was a disappointing finish this year. Very predictable finish if you listen to Locked On Warriors. But they're in this position now where, we don't know what's going to happen with Bob Myers. We're recording this on Memorial Day. If you're listening on Memorial Day, happy Memorial Day, everyone. And tomorrow, Bob Myers is conducting an exit interview where we're going to learn if he's staying or if he's going to leave the franchise that he's led to a dynasty. The Warriors are in a position, and a lot of people don't realize this, and I don't know if your team's been in cap hell, where you start experiencing all these different aprons, all these different tiers of tax penalties, but
we're about to be there.
So the Warriors are at the pinnacle of it, and they've been there for a while, largely because of the core three making big money. Jordan Poole getting an extension now that kicks in starting this year. Andrew Wiggins, your former player, makes below max dollars, but he's $25 million is still a lot of money. So the Warriors are in this position now where ownership has said they don't want to spend over $400 million. They've publicly said that, I think, repeatedly. Look, they're filthy rich. They can afford to spend more than that, but that's the line. To me, $400 million is a lot of money. It's hard to really be upset if they don't go over that. But nonetheless, that's the reality of it. And right now, the way things are looking, the Warriors are going to be spending next year, if they keep the roster and add a few veteran minimums, they have the 19th pick in the draft this year, they're going to be spending $490 million approximately, give or take a few mil, depending on how the math adds up. And that's not feasible. That's not realistic. So I decided to start exploring some trades that would maybe bring that number down while simultaneously keeping the Warriors in contention. And I found what I thought was the best trade possible, and it involves your team. That's why we're doing this now. And the trade involves to your team. And it's a big haul. You'd be getting Jordan Poole. You'd be getting Jonathan Kuminga, who I love and I think will be a future superstar. You'd be getting Moses Moody, who I also love, could be a future star. Gary Payne II, a defensive stalwart. And we're throwing in two first-round picks, including this year's 19th, which the Warriors will have to pick because of weird rules based on the fact that the Warriors' first-round pick next year is a top four protected. Because of that, the Warriors technically can't trade this year's pick. So the Timberwolves would have to instruct the Warriors on who they'd want to make that part of the package. But nonetheless, you'd be including the first round pick this year and another first rounder in the future for your center, Karl Anthony Towns. By doing that, the Warriors will bring their cap number down to $400 million. They'd have the best starting five of the NBA. They'd have serious issues pertaining to depth, but they also had the exact same issues when they won the title a year ago, and they solved that with smart signings with veteran minimums. So that's the proposal I came up with. I've gotten some pushback on that in the sense that a lot of people don't even like Karl Anthony Towns. And this is where, like, you take over. If you want to explain to people who hate on Karl Anthony Towns why you don't want to trade him, I'd love to hear that. But that's the trade. Your thoughts, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, from Karl Anthony Towns' perspective, like, Kat, I understand why he's a polarizing player. He hasn't done it in big games. Wolves haven't been in that many big games. This year, I mean, he missed 52 consecutive games with a calf injury, and everybody is, you know, at least nationally, right? The national perspective is, you know, Ant is the guy you're building around. And now the Wolves have said that. Tim Connolly, the Timberwolves president of basketball operations, has said, we are building around Anthony Edwards. Everything we're doing is with Ant in mind, which makes a lot of sense. I think the national perspective, and what I would say maybe opposing fan perspective of Karl Anthony Towns, is generally a little bit unfair. He's quite literally one of the best offensive players, not just bigs, players in the entire league when he's healthy.
Agreed.
And he's actually not as bad defensively as most people think. He's
agreed,
fine, right?
Yeah.
Like he's not a good defender, but he's really not he was exposed a little when he ended up having to guard fours this year with that's another conversation with Rudy Gobert on the floor with him, but
right.
And he's not a rim protector, but you can manage with Karl Anthony Towns in a team concept. He can switch a little bit. He can block some shots. He's still mobile for a big. Like he's obviously not Bam Adebayo. He's not Rudy Gobert. He's not that type of a player, but he's not a complete, you know, sieve on the perimeter either if he ends up out there and he can hold his own in the paint. So I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap. The bigger issue with Kat is...
I agree on all of that, by the way.
Yeah.
You go on. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. That's good. I mean, I think the bigger issue is something that I think could work if he were on the Warriors, and we'll start there, is that, like, can he be the 1A on a legit contender, not even a championship winning team, but a team that can get past the first round of the playoffs? We don't really know that. He's been in the playoffs three times. Once was with Jimmy Butler, so he wasn't 1A then. Once was last year, when you could argue he was, because Ant was still just in his second season, and the team won, 46 games last season. They were really good. He was all NBA again. He was an all-star. I think people forget he's been all NBA third team twice. He's a three-time all-star. Like, he's really good. This year, you know, you have Rudy and you have Ant, and Kat missed 52 games. So he's only been in the playoffs three times. He's won a total of four playoff games in his career. He didn't play well in the play-in last year. He had a phenomenal half this year against the Lakers in the play-in, and then was bad in the second half and was bad in the second play-in game. The volatility in the big games is questionable. Can he be the 1A on a championship team? If you go to Golden State and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are there, you don't have to be, right? You could be the third or fourth option or whatever. And like from a Warriors perspective, that is attractive if I'm a Warriors fan, because he's also only 28 years old.
Right.
And so he's the youngest of that group of players. And so there could be a bit of a torch passing. And is he ever going to be the 1A in the future? Probably not. But like, at least you have somebody that you know, is in that next window. So from that perspective, like if I'm a Warriors fan, and this isn't to speak of what depth would be left after this potential trade, just strictly from a high-end talent, you know, look at things, I would love to have Karl Anthony Towns on my team if I were Golden State. I mean, I think it's easy to forget just how talented and just how good he is. And if he can fit in a defensive, because Andrew Wiggins wasn't a good defender in Minnesota either. People don't realize that. That was partly because he was 19, 20, 21, and the Wolves were asking him to do too much. But the culture in Minnesota wasn't right. The scheme wasn't right. The tools around Wiggins weren't right. He goes to Golden State, and he's phenomenal defensively. I don't think Cat would make that sort of a jump, but he would be better in a team concept with a team like Golden State than he has been in Minnesota.
You're echoing my exact sentiments. It's, you know, some players just need a change of culture. I love that you brought up the Wiggins thing, because you're right. He wasn't known, as a defensive player until he came to Golden State, even though there were some sample sizes that did show the potential was there. I mean, I remember when, I don't mean to be, you know, arrogant in saying this, but I was wanting Wiggins, and the receipts are there, when I was hosting with Rick Barry for months before the trade happened. I thought Wiggins would have been a perfect fit. There were videos of him defending Kawhi, videos of him defending LeBron efficiently, effectively. And I see that potential with Towns coming to the Warriors, because if he comes to the Warriors, you have a starting five of Steph, Clay, Dre, Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns. That's a lethal starting five. I mean, all five of those players, with the exception of Draymond, are terrific shooters. Draymond's still a playmaker. And then you'd have to build depth. But, you know, if you have a competent GM who can, you know, assess talent, I think you could do so. Would Minnesota do that trade, though? Is that a good tease for when we come back?
I think that's a great tease. Let's talk about our title sponsors from today's show. That's our friends at Game Time. I don't know about you, Cyrus. I am not great at buying tickets on time. I'm often last minute, no matter what it is. I don't know if, like, concert tickets, games, whatever it is, I'm bad at it. But
you're Game Time
is the place for last minute ticket deals. Yeah. Forget planning months in advance. They have deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. No matter what it is, they have it. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
That's a guaranteed.
That's right. All right. So from the Wolves' perspective, this proposed trade, just to kind of rehash, let's see, you have Jordan Poole, I'll get there in a second. Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, Gary Payton II, Moses Moody, and the two picks. That's right. Right.
Correct. And you get two of those four picks you give up you know what's weird? His name is blocked out of my memory because of you know what's weirdly, and I know I'm a weirdo saying this, the pandemic has created this mental block for me with the Frenchman, where because remember how he was touching everything?
Yeah.
And then like a day later, he got it. And he was the first guy who kind of started the whole thing before the games got canceled. And I've created like this mental block from him because of that. What's his name, man? My listeners know this. I literally, for some reason, have a brain block, a brain fart every time his name comes up.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert would be that.
So Rudy Gobert, you give up four first rounders for him. Is that correct?
It was three, a pick swap, and I guess four and a pick swap, or three and two pick swaps, and then also Walker Kessler. So you could say another one because he was had just been picked. Yeah. And then also Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, all guys who played significant minutes for good teams this year. It was a lot. It was a lot. So like any Karl Anthony Towns trade, and Lockdown Wolves listeners know this, you have to recoup some of those picks that you gave up, because otherwise, what's the point? And I should also say this for Warriors listeners, the Wolves don't have to trade Karl Anthony Towns. So the Wolves would be negotiating from a position of strength. It's different than Jimmy Butler several years ago, or even more recently, like D'Angelo Russell, when he had an expiring deal. The Wolves, like, Towns isn't asking out. He has said publicly he wants to be in Minnesota. He recently signed the extension. There's no reason why the Wolves don't have to trade him, right? He's already under contract for the next 4 years. But they can trade him now because they have Rudy Gobert. So they have another big. They have Anthony Edwards, obviously. And you also have Jaden McDaniels, who's about to get an extension. And so you're going to extend McDaniels and Edwards. So there's also that you could trade him to save some money, because Towns' contract goes up to $50 million next year. Not 22-23.
You don't know 20, that.
23, yeah, or 24, 25, because it's the Supermax. So it's like $36 million this coming season, and that's $50 million the year after that. And so from the Wolves' perspective, you're about to pay the luxury tax if you extend McDaniels and Edwards, and you can't pay the repeater tax if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves because of the market, et cetera. Like, nobody wants to do that, but the Wolves can't do it. And so to get ahead of that, one option is trading Towns, saying, hey, we could get a couple picks back. Let's get ahead of this. We still have Rudy. He's got a couple more prime years left. We don't, you know, we could also re-sign Naz Reid in this scenario. I think there could be perhaps the Naz Reid re-signing and Towns trading. Right. There could be a link there.
Right. Yeah. And just to add to that real quick, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just for the Warriors fans listening, because there's some Warriors fans out there that bring up Naz Reid, like the Warriors should get him. Warriors fans, this is the reality of our team situation. We can't sign anyone. We have no cap space. There is no possibility to create cap space. We no longer have a mid-level exception. And I hate saying we for the Warriors. I'm not part of the team, but the fan base. And so the reality for the Warriors is the only free agents they can get are veteran minimum. So Naz Reid cannot go to the Warriors. Sorry to interrupt, but I just need to inform the Warriors fan base of that. But continue on.
Yeah, and Naz is going to get paid in free agency. I thought, you know, the Wolves were offering him an extension of 10, 12 million around the deadline, and he wanted 14-ish million a year. And again, I had Howard Beck on the show a couple weeks ago. He thinks he's going to get at least 15 million a year. Naz is not Carl Anthony Towns, by the way. Carl Anthony Towns, like, right. Obviously you wouldn't be giving up, in a scenario in which you had cap space, you're not giving up assets to sign Naz. Naz could do some of the same things, but I mean, he is like, I don't know. He's not as good as Carl Anthony Towns, obviously, but he's going to get paid by somebody. So anyway, if the Wolves were to trade Towns, they could bring back Naz, but the Wolves they don't have to trade Carl Anthony Towns. So when I look at the Warriors and as a potential trade partner, I struggle with it because Jordan Poole has to be involved. There's no other way to do it. I went down the next like five salaries on the Warriors roster. That's the only way to make the salaries work. And obviously Correct. Then you run into the roster spot issue. So it has to include Jordan Poole. And you and I went back and forth briefly about this on Twitter. Like, I think my concern with Poole is there's a little bit too much overlap with him with the ball in his hands and Ant with the ball in his hands. And like, Ant's a little bit more efficient. Ant's a better, much better defender. Jordan Poole's a nice player and does a lot of things. He's a better playmaker than Ant, sure. But I mean, that's part of the reason D'Angelo Russell got traded is you want the ball in Anthony Edwards' hands, running actions with Carl Anthony Towns or Rudy Gobert.
Right.
You don't want the ball in anyone else's hands. And so Mike Conley is a nice play off the ball, like can bring the ball up and, you know, give it to Ant and go stand in the corner. Like, that works with Mike Conley. Jordan Poole, you'd want him to be a little bit more involved. And so that worries me a little. You obviously need the picks involved because the Wolves would have to recoup a couple of picks. So I struggle to see it from a Wolves perspective. And I also like, both could be true, right? Warriors fans cannot like it because they can be worried about the depth, and I cannot like it because I'm worried about the return for Kat. It doesn't mean Warriors fans are wrong for not liking the trade. I just think the Wolves could get more for Kat, whether that is, maybe a player that's better than Jordan Poole and an extra pick from somebody or whatever that might be. But I struggle with the fit. Like, I think you're just kind of shuffling deck chairs at that point for if you're the Wolves, because, now you've kind of, the roster's still in balance. It's just instead of two centers, you know, have two playmaking 6'4" guards, wings. I don't know. I just don't know that the roster balance really gets solved.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Anthony Edwards a traditional shooting guard, or is he so? Because everything I've seen of him is that he doesn't need to have a high usage rate to be successful, meaning he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands that much. And I don't know who. I know technically Mike Conley is your point guard, but like, you know, that can't be your future. And Jordan Poole is a point guard.
Sure.
So if you're saying that doesn't work, are you telling me that Anthony Edwards needs the ball that much in terms of bringing the ball up the court, in terms of facilitating the offense? Like, you're saying he takes on a point guard role often?
He did last year quite a bit. And that's part of the reason, that was part of the impetus behind the D'Lo trade, was like D'Lo was unhappy. He wasn't like an issue in the locker room necessarily, but like it was more of, hey, that's also D'Angelo Russell, right? Like, for him to be successful, he needs the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. Ant is similar. I think he could do more things off the ball. He's a better cutter. He's a really good catch and shooter, but he's also one of the best players in the league getting downhill. And so like, yeah, you could run stuff to get him the ball but like, teams were guarding Ant like they guard Luka Doncic. Like, they were just committing two to Ant in the middle of the floor and letting Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gobert and the other non-shooters. I know Kyle Anderson shot 41% from three this year, but like, you don't want him shooting above the break. They were letting some of these guys just like run around free because they were committing two to Ant. Jordan Poole could potentially help with that. But like one of the things I went and looked at like catch and shoot numbers, like Jordan Poole was only 36% on catch and shoot threes. So if he's playing off the ball, I mean, that would have ranked like 11th on the Timberwolves this year, like down near Nikhil Alexander-Walker with catch and shoot threes. And that doesn't, wow. If you're putting the ball in Ant's hands, that's not great. Now you could flip it and Jordan Poole runs point and runs the offense. Sure. But then I worry about like, and you would know better than me, but most of the playmaking numbers would suggest that Jordan Poole would rather, you know, create a shot for himself. And unless you're convinced that he can fit that role where he's also going to be getting the ball to Ant and getting the ball to, you know, Rudy Gobert or whoever that might be, I worry a little bit about that dynamic of those guys in the backcourt together on offense.
I get what you're saying about Jordan Poole. My response to that is it's weird to me that you focus so much on Poole when I feel like that's not the best part of the trade. That's not the prize. The prize is Jonathan Kuminga.
Sure. Yeah.
Who the only reason why I even throw Kuminga and Moody in this deal, I don't want to trade either of those players. And I think that's the part that makes Dub Nation cringe when I propose this trade is why are you trading two players that could be literally theoretically all NBA talent? And my answer to that is look at the way Kerr treated these two guys last year. Kerr just bungled the whole situation when it comes to minute distribution. He oftentimes DNP'd these two players, and every time they play, they delivered. Do you not find value in Kuminga and Moody in this deal?
I would, and Kuminga especially. Like, I really like Jonathan Kuminga. I do think, like, right now, he'd be kind of plug and play in terms of a kind of a swing forward that defensively at least like fits, right? He obviously played, you know, fringe rotation minutes, as you said, inconsistent minutes on even a championship team, right? And a second round playoff team this year. So like, I like Kuminga a lot. I mean, he's only going to turn 21, what, like right before the start of the season next year. So
after October, it's in October. So maybe
early October. Right. Yeah. So yes, I mean, the reason why I lock in on Poole is just because he's got to be in the deal. And because of that salary number, you have to be able to justify it. Unless the Wolves see it as like, we want Kuminga and these picks bad enough that we're willing to take on Poole. And not that Poole's salary is bad necessarily, but again, like if the Wolves didn't have Anthony Edwards and, you know, I don't know, like, and say Jaden McDaniels was, you know, they felt better about him being a star, then yeah, you could say like, okay, we need Poole to go with McDaniels and Rudy Gobert. But because of Ant's presence and sharing the ball in the backcourt, that's what worries me the most. And Poole gets paid too much, in my opinion, to like require him as, hey, you're running our bench. But Kuminga, yeah, I love Jonathan Kuminga.
And Moses Moody. And I mean, like to me, and again, I don't want to give them up. I really believe in the right situation, they could be superstar, if not superstar players. And again, Kerr just messed it up royally. And if Kerr does commit to these two players next year and actually decides I'm going to give them a full-time role, I'm going to commit to 25 plus minutes a night with these guys, I don't want to make this trade anymore. A lot of this premise is based on the fact that Kerr is stubborn and loyal to his core three, even as we see them age and are no longer champions. I mean, that's the reality of it. So that's the impetus for me. So I guess if you don't see value in those two, then yeah, I can understand you not being excited about this trade, but I'm looking at your roster and like Gary Payton II, I feel like could be a massive bonus. The only reason why I'm including him is because he makes approximately $9 million next year. And because of the severity of the luxury tax penalties for the Warriors, that $9 million turns into like $60 million or $70 million. Sure, that's how extreme the penalty is that the Warriors are in. That's how much they're spending. So I had to include Gary Payton II in that trade to shed salary for the Warriors to make them go under $400 million. But he would be a perimeter defender for you. You can also guard bigs. But Gary Payton II is incredibly diverse when it comes to both his defense and offensively. He's not a playmaker, but he's a fantastic finisher. And again, but the Moody Kuminga thing to me is like that. I thought that would be a stronger selling point. But look, for Dub Nation, I mean, Listen to the Wolves insider right here. He does not want to get rid of Cat. Cat has value. I mean, Cat, as you mentioned, two-time All-NBA. He's a great player. I really believe under the right circumstances and the right culture, he can fit. Who would you like in your dream scenario? Who are you trading Cat for? Like because this trade isn't exciting you clearly. What kind of trade would excite you on a pragmatic level? Have you explored this?
Yeah, that's certainly something I'm going to spend a lot of the offseason kind of diving into, maybe not team by team, but finding, you know, the top few handful of potential trades for Towns. The one that Wolves fans are talking a lot about now is now that Portland has, I think, the third pick and Houston's got the fourth pick. Could Portland be a possibility? They're obviously trying to keep Damian Lillard happy. Is it a trade for a top pick and a loaded draft? Because the Wolves need to, again, luxury taxes looming for Minnesota with extensions due for Ant and McDaniels in the next year and very likely later this year. one of the ways to avoid it is trading Towns' salary and taking back some, you know, expiring type contracts. And they have to draft right. And Tim right. Connelly drafted very well in Denver, obviously. And you can't miss on those. And if you get to three or four, take Scoot Henderson, take somebody else that you feel like is going to fit this Wolves, what's still, frankly, other than Rudy, it's still a young core, especially if you trade Karl Anthony Towns. I think right. that's actually where a lot of people are at, because so many of the other star type level players that you'd be acquiring, they're available for similar reasons, right? So like, I mean, we could look at, like, you know, Trae Young was mentioned. That doesn't help the Wolves at all. John Collins kind of, you know, I mean, I'd rather have Towns, right? At slightly more money. Like, you could go around the league and there's a handful of these names where you've got a similar issue with the Blazers. You could look at, is it like a Jeremy Grant sign and trade? You get the number three pick. There's, you know, a couple other pieces in there. That's one I talked about the other day on the show. But again, it's got to be, I think, draft capital's number one, because you're looking for affordable players. And that's one of the concerns with this potential trade is yeah, you know, the salaries work, but then the Wolves still have to deal with tax implications, potentially with Poole when he's got, I think, 4 years left on the deal down the road.
Five.
Yeah. So, like, that's my main concern. And it's tough because like, I don't know. I mean, like, I think Cat on the Warriors would work well. I actually think he would fit them really well. But I just, I struggle with it. And again, like, to go back to my first point, the Wolves don't have to trade Towns. I'd be a little bit surprised at this point. I'd say it's probably, this is just based on everything I've heard, 75-25, they don't trade him this offseason, because again, they don't have to. And also, it'd be a little bit selling low. Like, yeah, his salary jumps next year, but he played in like 29 games this year. So this was arguably the worst year of his career, even when he did play, in terms of rebounding, some of the shooting numbers. Like, if he runs it back next year and plays like he did 2 years ago, you can trade him for even more next summer.
And it is 4 years, by the way. You were correct. He has 4 years on his deal. It just, he signed the extension last year. So so I guess ultimately, and again, for any member of Dub Nation listening who doesn't like this trade, come up with something better. I'm all ears. Like, I'm an open-minded person. I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, like, this is the definitive best trade possible. But come, if you have a better idea for shedding $90 million and getting a player like Karl Anthony Towns back, I'm all ears. If you're the Timberwolves, do you say yes to this deal or no?
If I'm the Timberwolves, I would say no.
Wow. Okay, well, there.
Yeah.
Like, see, anyone who hates on this trade who's a member of Dub Nation is saying, like, why would we want Karl Anthony Towns? Right. But look, you know, this is value right there. You're saying no to the deal.
Well, and it's also, I mean, like, I think most Wolves fans would say no. Also, from just if I'm in the Timberwolves front office from a basketball perspective, I think I say no only because I think you can get more value elsewhere, and you don't have, like, it'd be a different thing if Towns asked out. This trade would be on the table if it was on the table, you'd have to discuss it as a possibility, because there is value there. But again, like, Towns and Gobert only played 29 games together, so the Wolves don't have to make the move. As depressing as the season was, they won only 42 games. They were four games worse than they were before the Rudy Gobert trade. Nothing says for sure this isn't going to work out yet. So, like,
Ben,
there's
Ben,
just...
I know we just met today for the first time. I know we've been part of Locked On together for years. We're always involved in, you know, the group messages and stuff. But you seem like a very sensible person. You seem like a very intelligent person. So I'm curious to know, do you honestly, you personally, do you honestly believe the way this roster is constructed for the Timberwolves, that's going to work? Because the moment that trade was made, I was calling it out for being an awful trade. Mm-hmm. I don't see how the Twin Tower thing works. Your team needs a fundamental change. I really believe that if you want to be a team that actually goes deep in the playoffs for once. And, that's a huge reason why I looked at your team, is because it's been discussed a lot. You have a front office guy in Tim Connelly now, who is known for having a solid track record. And, and I'm guessing he probably sees it. Maybe he doesn't see the same. I don't know. He didn't make this trade, so who knows? But do you really believe personally?
That Connelly did make the trade. It was right.
Yeah,
after.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
No. Go ahead. But do you personally believe this will work?
So I do. I do think there is a chance that it also depends on how we're defining working. I do think the Wolves could be if they're completely healthy this year. Yes, I think it could work in the sense of they're get out of the first round. They could be a high 40s, 50 win team. I'd be surprised if they won a title with this team. But I will 100% agree they way overpaid for Rudy Gobert, because they overpaid for the right to conduct this kind of wacky experiment that nobody else is doing. And I appreciate that they're trying to zag, zig while everyone else is zagging or whatever, so many small ball teams and just saying, you know what, screw it, let's go multiple seven footers. And I also like from a simplistic standpoint, the Wolves said, what do we need? We need rim protection and defense and rebounding. Let's go get the guy who's the best defensive rebounder, best rim protector in the league, arguably in Rudy Gobert. He's just coming off a defensive player of the year award. So in that sense, that's great. And yeah, Towns can play the four offensively, but there's also, there's other things to consider. There's personalities. There's the fact that now a huge chunk of the cap is locked up into essentially the five spot. So I do think if healthy, this team probably, we don't know what the offseason looks like. And there are some question marks there. The bench is going to get overturned a bit. They could win 50 games and they could get into the second round and fine. It's the second best year, like literally for Warriors fans, that'd be the second best year in Timberwolves history. Their best season was Western Conference Finals 2004. Second round would immediately be the second best season in history. So the bar is low in terms of quote unquote success, but unless they win a title, this can't be considered a successful trade because they have given up so much for Rudy Gobert. From a basketball perspective, I do think it can work, but the odds are not in the Wolves' favor. And that's where it gets a bit like, hey, well, wait, you gave up how much? So like that's to me is the biggest issue.
And Rudy Gobert is just, he's a massive liability offensively. I've always thought he was a little overrated defensively. It was so much you guys gave up for him, but I'm not opposed to the too big thing. That's not the part of it that I was opposed to. It was the Gobert part of it. I thought Connolly just overvalued him so much, but at the same time, new owners like to swing big. We all understand that. By the way, this is a weird thing no one talks about, and I'm just curious, and I'd love for you to elaborate if you don't mind. Is Alex Rodriguez and the other person who is planning on eventually taking over, 80% of the team, are they going to come up with the money? Like, they have to come up with one more huge payment, right, to actually get the team, and it's a massive payment, isn't it? Like, are they going to get that money?
They're on track. Like they've made all the other payments on time. So the other guy is Mark Lurie. He's a tech billionaire. And so he's the one that is, Alex Rodriguez, the cash burden is relatively low, of course, low for him compared to Mark Lurie. So they made they did 20% and they did another 20%, I think in March of this year. Their next one is due in December of the following year. So December of, I think 24.
That's the last one, right?
And that's another 40%. So that is the big one. And that's the last one. Then they'll have 80%. And then, Glenn Taylor, who's owned the team for 20 plus years, would still have most of the last 20%. They've essentially been functioning as the majority owners, like Glenn Taylor signing off on everything, but they were the ones, Lurie and Rodriguez were the ones pushing for the Gobert trade, reportedly pushing for some of these other things to happen because they do want to make a splash, as you said. So I don't think there's much actual concern about coming up with the cash. I think it's more like now Tim Connolly's their guy. And Chris Finch is, Tim Connolly's guy. Like, he wasn't hired by Tim Connolly, but they'd worked together previously in Denver briefly and had been around each other in the league. What happens in the next year and a half until they become majority owners? Do they make any other big moves in terms of front office, or, do they insist on? Because the other thing, going back to the Cat thing, this is related, is and the Rudy thing, is that this was clearly a potential pivot that Tim Connolly had in his mind when he made this trade. Like, front offices are thinking so many steps in advance. He no doubt knew, like, hey, it doesn't justify giving up as many picks as he did, but he surely thought, I'll give up a bunch of picks. This is going to work. If it doesn't, I can flip Karl-Anthony Towns. Rudy should be an effective, rim protector, whatever, for the next couple of seasons. I could get picks for Kat in the middle of his prime and then just kind of like rebuild around Ant if this swing doesn't work. I'm sure he thought that. It doesn't make it any less crazy how many picks he gave up, or the fact that like he had to know he was going to take a lot of flack for making this move. But this pivot was clearly in his mind as a possibility, whether it's this summer or next summer. It's part of the reason why I think they give it another year, because again, it's still there a year from now, unless something catastrophic happens. You can always trade Towns in the summer of 24.
That's true. Yeah. Even though as you inform me, he makes $50 million next year. That's
Supermaxes, man. They really kick in. And Rudy is also making, $50 million, that's like almost what Steph's making. And and obviously Steph is Steph. But Rudy too is making 40 plus million, and then Ant's gonna get his rookie max extension, and McDaniels will get something close to that. And it gets that tax situation serious.
You gotta move one of those guys. Especially not like, I would take Naz Reid over Gobert. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, would you? I don't know. Like, I to me, Naz Reid is more valuable. I don't know.
I think I don't know. It's tough. I mean, Nas is certainly a more valuable offensive player, but I think that that Nas has, he does so many things well that a lot of bigs don't, that it makes him seem better than he actually is. As weird as that's a little convoluted, but like, he's a good player and he can stretch the floor, but he's still only like a 34% 3-point shooter. He still doesn't actually, like, this was his best rebounding season. He's not a great rebounder for a center. Like, he's best used as a small ball center, as like your third big that can play a little four, a really good passer for his size, can block shots on the weak side, but he gets bullied in the post. Like, he's really not a starting caliber player on a playoff team. I think he's best cast as like your third big, maybe your seventh player on a playoff team. I think he's going to get overpaid. I like him. I still think in a vacuum right now, Rudy Gobert is the better player.
Gotcha. There you go. I mean, and one more question for me. I'm just curious because I heard you use the word only for 36% 3-point shooting. I know it was catch and shoot, but still 34% use the word only. But I've always been under the school of thought that anything 33% and above is actually good, because 33% sure. shooting from three is the equivalent of 50% from two. Sure. When do you stop using the word only for 3-point shooting?
I would say it's related to the league average more than anything. I mean, league average now is up to around 36% overall for 3-point shooting, not catch and shoot. And catch and shoot, that number is much higher because obviously guys shoot the ball better in catch and shoot situations. So like for the Wolves, like I actually looked this up because I was looking at, I dug into Jordan Poole a little bit. I mean, like Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards, Kyle Anderson, Torian Prince, Jaden McDaniels, Karl-Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, all shot better. Actually, Austin Rivers slightly, all shot better catch and shoot from three this year than Jordan Poole.
Yeah, I would look at Jordan Poole's shooting numbers 2 years ago. If you're going to do an accurate assessment of how he is as a shooter, he had a bad year shooting. And the why of that is multifaceted. Again, a lot of it goes back, I think, to coaching. But as a shooter, he's better than he was this year. He had an awful year as a shooter. That number is going to go up. I'm very confident of that. He's like, I see Jordan Poole realistically as the catch shoot numbers. I'm not a savant about that. I don't study that number that much. I'm impressed that you do. And you've certainly made me take a second look at that stat from now on. But as a 3-point shooter, generally, I would expect him to be above 35%, closer probably to 37, 38. He is a good shooter. It's just this year, he started forcing a lot of his shots. And again, that's where coaching really comes into play. You got to coach a player when he's regressing like that. And Steve Kerr lost Mike Brown. That impact was massively huge. It was evident more than ever this season. So with that said, my point is, like, Jordan Poole's a better shooter than that. I wouldn't call this last year a proper representation of who he is as a shooter. But I also understand your concern, man. There's a reason why Warriors fans will not cry if Jordan Poole is gone. And he might be gone for nothing. Like, the Warriors might trade him just to get an exception back, just to get that salary off the books. I mean, that's a plausible scenario there. So that's why, he might be gone. But I also can understand you being concerned and not being blown away. I thought the Kuminga part would excite you a little more. And Moody. I think Moody's going to be a great player too.
So my last question for you would be, Jonathan Kuminga, you talked a little bit about how you think he could be a star. He is only 20 as of right now.
Yeah.
What do you think his most likely case, you know, maybe not ceiling, but like, say the Warriors don't trade him, like, what's his role next year on this team for Wolves fans that may not have seen him play a bunch? What do you like so much about Kuminga? What is his most likely kind of outcome in the NBA?
Well, he's a vastly underrated shooter. People criticize that, but he shot, I think, 52.5% from the field, 37% from three. And he's working on his whole game this offseason. There's clips of him right now. He's doing he's traveling all over the place, working with skills coaches. Kerr, Kuminga himself in his exit interview, and generally speaking, the criticism is he doesn't grab enough rebounds, even though his per 36 numbers are fine. Supposedly that's one facet of his game he wants to work on. Kuminga is a perimeter player who, with the Warriors, if he wants to get minutes, and this is where I disagree with Kerr strongly, he has to develop a stronger inside game, and he has to become more of a four who can sometimes handle fives. I don't agree with forcing Kuminga into that position. That's not his biggest strength. His strength is as a three who can handle the four, who can shoot. He was tasked with defense this year, oftentimes guarding the opposing team's best defender. And this happened largely because they didn't have Gary Payton the whole season until the postseason. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins was injured a lot. So Kuminga was forced to suddenly become this defender, and he shined. He's actually, he was aggressive. He wasn't a liability, quite the opposite. So what he's working on this offseason, from my understanding, is becoming a better ball handler. The rebounding aspect of it, I guess, whether that's aggression, whether that's, you know, actually studying tape. But I love him. To me, like, it was a crime that he didn't play in the postseason. Might have cost the Warriors in the conference semis. And he could be a superstar type player. Who you could compare him to? I mean, people bring up Kawhi Leonard a lot. Maybe. I mean, that might be his level. You know, some old school people bring up players like Dominique Wilkins, just because Kuminga has that athleticism where he, as he's like monster dunks, he can attack. So this, to me, the sky's the limit. I don't know what his potential is, but he has to play. And if Kerr's not going to play him, that's just a crime, man. That's like, they can't survive next year without him getting real minutes. But if he doesn't play, that's why I propose this trade, because I'd rather see him go to a team where he can actually flourish. And but I love the kid, man. I think he's going to be a superstar in this game. I really do.
And of course, the full circle comment here that I have to make is that he was picked with the draft pick that was the Timberwolves pick that went to Golden State with Andrew Wiggins in the D'Angelo Russell trade, which, of course, was the last Timberwolves front office. So if for no other reason than the Wolves trading with the Warriors track record is not great recently, or I guess probably ever, that would be another reason maybe for Tim Connelly to avoid that one.
It was
Gerson Rosas before, but I don't know.
I love it, man. Ben, this was fun, man. Thanks for taking some time out today on Memorial Day.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, we'll see what happens here with the Warriors offseason, if they're able to do some cap sheet shuffling and if the Wolves do trade Karl Anthony Towns. But definitely an interesting conversation to look at the Warriors roster and the Wolves and see what might come of it. So appreciate the conversation, Cyrus.
Yeah, man. Likewise. Take care, everyone.